So the topic for tonight is stop, listen, obey God's word and instruction. Stop, listen, obey. Stop, listen, obey God's word and instructions. So 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verses 1 to 18. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 1 to 18. And the child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Thank God. In our own time, the word of God is not rare. The next verse, please. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, so Samuel was a child at this point, the Lord called Samuel and he said, I am. So the Lord kept on calling Samuel, he kept on calling him. And each time the Lord called Samuel, it would go to Eli. And Eli would tell him, Samuel, go and lie down. I'm not the one calling you. And the third time, Eli now realized that. In verse, I believe, 9. Yeah, if you can go to verse 9, please. Eli now realized that this was God calling this young child. So Eli now says to him in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And as sure as the Lord lives, the Lord calls him again in verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears, because that's what the older prophet told him. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. 14. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. This is a very, very scary message. 15. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. I would have been afraid as well. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. What is the word of the Lord? What is the word that the Lord spoke to your mouth? So if you hide anything from me of all the things. So Samuel goes ahead and says every single thing that God told him about the house of Eli. So we've been looking at stop and listen to God this month of October in Love Assembly, a word we received during the retreat last year. But for me, God has been telling me that it's not just stopping to listen. When you stop and you listen to God, it doesn't end with listening to God. What do you do with what you have stopped to listen to? What do you do with what God I said to you? Do you just say, okay, God is asking me to stop and listen? And after you've stopped and after you've listened, you leave it there and then you go about your normal business. God is saying to me that for the majority of us, our problem is because we stop at the listen. If that makes sense. I'm not playing with words. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. So God is telling us to stop and to listen. Stop to what? Stop doing what? Listen. What are we listening to? What are we listening out for? We are listening out for God's word. When God's word comes, then what do we do? For some of us, we stop at listen. We stop, we listen, and then we don't do anything else. And then we're wondering why our situations remain the same. The main scripture for us has been the scripture we just read now, 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read another chapter of 1 Samuel later, chapter 15. Two contrasts, two stories about stopping, about listening. But the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell us tonight, the point at which I'm coming from tonight has to do with obeying the instructions God gives you. Obeying the instructions God gives me when we stop and we listen. Because you're not stopping and listening to just anyone. You are stopping and listening to God's word. And until you obey what God has spoken to you, no matter how much time you stopped, no matter how many times you've listened, if you don't do anything with what God has said to you in your place of stopping, in your place of listening, you are not going to go forward. If I don't do anything about what God has said, if I do not obey God's instruction, the main word tonight is obeying. The main word tonight is obeying. When God spoke to Samuel, little Samuel, a child, and gave him a prophecy that was bigger than him. God gave Samuel a word of judgment against the main prophet of the land and his family. And as a child, Samuel was scared to deliver this word, but he ended up delivering it. And God was saying to me that for some of us, the reason why we are where we still are is that the last instructions he gave to us, we have not obeyed. We have not obeyed the last instructions he gave to us. You have not obeyed the last instruction he gave to you. And until you obey the last instruction he gave to you, whether the instruction came through a dream, whether the instruction came through a vision, whether the instruction came through a man or a woman of God, whether the instruction actually came through a child, whether it came through nature, whether it came when you were watching the TV, when you were fasting, when you were praying, as long as it's from God and you can tally it with God's word, you can align it with God's word, God is saying to you tonight, have you done what I asked you to do? Have you done what I asked you to do? For me personally, this rings home so closely because in the last 3 or 4 or 5 months now, I went through an experience of where God was telling me to do some things and I thought those things were actually stupid. They were silly. They were crazy things that people might laugh at me if I do them. But until I did those things, until I carried out those instructions, things did not work out. So I'm not coming from a place of I know it all. I'm coming from a place of someone who God has dealt with along this line in the past few months. We are stopping and we are listening. But what you have been told in the place of listening, in the place of waiting on God, what have you done with it? Have you just left it out? You're going, oh, this is too difficult. You know, we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 now. I look at another story. Samuel is in this story as well. Now, Samuel is the prophet. Samuel also said to Saul, who was the king of Israel at this time, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. And do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and unseen child, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. So Saul goes ahead, starts to do what Samuel said to him to do. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel. Fine. The 7, when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Avila all the way down to Shur, which is east of Egypt. Verse 8. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroy all the people with the edge of the sword. 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Okay, let's stop there. So this is another story of a king and a prophet. Because of the way the Amalekites were to the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt, God spoke through Samuel to Saul, destroy the Amalekites. Now, the Bible says that the Amalekites were destroyed, but Saul decided to spear Agag and spear the good things. Now, this is a great story of disobedience. God said to Saul through Samuel, destroy everything. Destroy every single thing in Amalek. But Saul decided to spear Agag the king, who was the chief conspirator of when the children of Israel were killed. Everything that was good in Amalek, Saul and his men also decided to take with them. This was completely against the word of the Lord. So it is not only hearing instructions. And because of this singular act, Saul did something else again. Because of this singular act and another one where God told Samuel to go and worship, and then because Samuel delayed in coming to where Saul was, Saul decided to offer sacrifices, whereas it was meant to be the prophet Samuel that offered the sacrifices. And when Samuel would ask Saul, why would you do this? Saul was like, oh, it's just because I don't want the people to go away from me. You see that phrase there, people. Some of our problems are based on people. What will people say if I obey the word of God? How will it look to people if I obey the word of God? How will people look at me? You are afraid of what people will say. When the King of Kings, your creator is telling you to do something, you are afraid of what mere mortals will say. And that was the difference between David and Saul, anytime, any day. David said, I would rather fall into the hands of God than fall into the hands of man. David knew quite well that God is the greatest of all. It doesn't matter what people might think. David knew that it wasn't people that made me king. It was Jehovah that made me king. So if Jehovah is judging me, let me go back on Jehovah's side. Let me ask for God's help. Let me ask for God's mercy. That was the difference between David and Saul. Saul was always about looking good in front of people. Looking good in front of people. In this story, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Samuel was about to depart from him, leaving, he said, oh, Samuel, please don't go. Let it look as if we're still together so that the people will not think. Worship the Lord with me so that the people will still think. It wasn't even bothered that he did not obey God's instruction. God has sent me to someone tonight. The reason why you are struggling is that the last instruction that God gave you, you have not obeyed it. That is why what is happening to you now has happened to you. It has nothing to do with any witch, any wizard, any devil. We blame the devil most of the time, but we ourselves have our own problems because we fail to obey what God has said. You took our time to stop, right? You took our time to listen, okay? Now God has told you, do this for me. This is what I want you to do. Destroy the Amalekites. Destroy all of them. Why have you spared Agag? Why have you spared the good things in the land? Why have you spared what God has told you not to spare? So that you can look good in front of people. So that it can look as if you know what you are doing. About 2 or 3 years ago, because I want to bring this home, I'm not preaching down on anyone. These are the things that God has taught me personally, but this is the message he has given me for someone tonight. It might be just for one person. You have to obey what God has said through maybe a man or a woman of God, maybe to you in a dream or in a vision, whatever it is, go back to it and do it. Do whatever God has told you to do, no matter how silly it is. It might not look logical to you. Just do it because this is God that said it. I was looking for a job in the civil service where I work, moving forward, looking for promotions and all this. And I kept on saying, oh, I don't want to be a manager. I don't want to be a manager. I don't want to be a manager. And I kept on applying for jobs. I kept on applying for jobs, and these jobs were not coming. And I got frustrated at a point, and I stopped and I went to listen. You know, that's one of the things we've learned this year. When you are failing at something, go and ask God why. It's not a sin to ask God, why am I going through this? It's a sin for you to question God. Those are two different things. Lord, why is this happening to me? It's different from, oh Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? After I've been serving you all this, yes. No. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, why am I failing? Why am I failing? And the Lord said, you want to be a manager, right? I said, yes, Lord. So, why are you saying with your own mouth that you don't want to be a manager? He said, I can't contradict my word. He said, you have to say what you want with your mouth and believe it. My brothers and my sisters, I had to change my mindset. I had to start to see myself as a manager. I had to start to do things the way a manager would do. And then the next job I will apply for, I got an interview. And I started that job on the 4th of October this year. But before I started that job, right, one day during about 2 or 3 days preceding the time, because I got the offer around April and it all went silent after that. So I started getting frustrated again. What was happening? Why? And one day, because around 12 o'clock in Love Assembly, we pray every 12 noon and at 6 p.m. So I normally take my break around 12. So one day, the first day, around 12, left the office where I was then, started walking around. And the office where I applied for a promotion was just like 2 minutes walk, not even up to 2 minutes from where I was. And as I was going to go in another direction, the Holy Spirit said, Wura, go in front of that office. I was like, okay. So I was thinking in my head, right? God was just going to tell me, just walk in front of it. And then the Holy Spirit goes, raise up your hands and start praising me in front of a government building. Come on. I was like, God, there are security guards, you know, because I walk in one. I said, it's going to be very strange for this woman of color to just stand in front of a government building and raise up her hands just like that. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to raise up your hands and praise me as you walk across the office. So I looked right and left. I was like, I've worked with God up to a point now that I know God is up to something. Because at this point, I was not hearing anything about this job. It's gone all quiet. Oh, you're in a reserve list. We'll get back to you. And it went all quiet. Talking about obeying God's instructions. Most of the instructions God will give us will not sound logical. They will not make sense. And this one didn't make sense to me. But because I had learned that God is awesome. He does things in his own way. You cannot question him. You cannot put him in a box. You can't say, oh, because he did it this way yesterday, that's the same way he's going to do it today. No. God is not like that. The day you start to put God in a box, that's the day you end up not knowing anything about him anymore. God is awesome. He's mighty. So anyway, cut long story short, I raised up my hands in front of a government building during the day. And when I felt okay, I went on. The next day, about 2 days after, the same instruction comes again. I just did it, and I just walked through. A week or two after that, my letter of offer came for this managerial position. What changed? I obeyed a crazy instruction. I obeyed when I stopped and I listened. For some of us, after tonight's Bible study, go back, sit down, take your notebooks, pray, and try to ask the Holy Spirit to remind you, what has God said to me in the past that I have not done? What has God told me to do that I didn't do? And you'll be surprised that he will start showing you. And when he starts showing you, ask him for the grace to obey. Don't look at any man. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to obey Him. The Holy Spirit will help you to obey Him. When I was starting this job and I was told, oh, for the next few weeks, you'll be on a training course, I was like, Holy Spirit. So that means I'll be missing the 12 noon prayer. Even though I was working from home, but I'll be on Teams, you know, doing the training. And I was like, I don't want to miss the 12 noon prayers, Holy Spirit. How is this going to happen? And I was a bit sad about it, but God saw my heart. Do you know what's been happening? Every single day, we start training around 9:30. Around 12, 10 minutes to 12, they'll just be like, oh, does everybody want to go on a 1 hour lunch break now? And I'll be like, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And that's how it's been. And then today it was getting to 12 noon, and this guy kept on talking. And I stood there, I was like, Holy Spirit, you have to tell him now to just say it, that we should go on lunch. I want to go and pray. I want to go and pray. And at just like 2 minutes to 12, he just went, oh, can we go on lunch now? That is because my heart is in that prayer. So God is making a way for me. That is the way God is. Don't look at me as and say, oh, it is because I am a pastor. Was Eli not a pastor? Eli was a pastor, and God bypassed him. God bypassed Eli to speak to a small child. It's the readiness of our hearts. Prophet I was saying during the 6 p.m. prayer today, if you go to God honestly and you say, Father, speak to me. Show me what I need to do. He will show you. It's up to you to do it. Don't be blaming one witch in your village. It is because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. If you have disobeyed, go back. Repent, ask Him for mercy, ask Him to help you. By the strength and the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do it. And once you do what God has asked you to do, then you'll go forward. I promise you. That is how God is. Hallelujah. So do you know God? Do you know God? If not, do you know God's word? Is God's word in your heart? Because what you are going to even hear must be from God. So it is very, very important. You don't have to know all the scriptures in the Bible. No. You don't have to. Samuel that we've just read about now was just a small child, and he heard the voice of God. It's the state of our hearts that matters. If your heart is pure, if you are expectant, if you are ready, if you humble yourself and say, God, speak to me, He will speak to you. He is no respecter of persons. You don't have to carry a title before God speaks to you. We are all His children. We all have that access to His presence. It's because we have our hearts and our minds have been so clogged up with worries, with different things. So there's no space for the word of God. You have to empty yourself. You have to, Kwamine was saying it during the 12 noon prayer. You have to empty yourself. You have to empty yourself of your pride. I had to look like a fool that day in front of that office, 12 noon, in the open. It was not dark, raising up hands and praising Jesus. The Lord was just testing me to see how far I would be able to go to do what He has told me to do. And I did it because I knew with whom I was dealing. I didn't actually link it until the second time, you know, that God is trying to say something to me through this action He's asking me to take. If you study God's word, then you will be able to hear God. If you don't study God's word, you will not be able to hear Him. And you don't have to study God's word for like 24 hours a day. You know, you just have to study one verse a day. That's all you can do. Some of the time, our problem is that we are too religious. I must do quiet time at 7. Well, if you can't do it at 7 a.m., can't you do it at 7 p.m.? Is it a sin to pray at 7 p.m. or at 8 p.m. or at 12 midnight? If you are a nursing mother, your baby wakes you up early in the morning, what is wrong in praying when you are nursing the baby at night? Is Jesus going to be angry with you that, my daughter didn't pray at 7, she's not praying at 12? All these religious things, it has to go out of our minds, because our problem, like I said before, is at times we box God. We box Him. things must be done this way. The main thing is that you are in a place where you can sit and you can listen and you are not distracted. And when he speaks to you, you obey. So I want us now, for the next few minutes, just get your pen and your notebook and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of the things he has said to you in the time past that you've not yet carried out. There might be tough things to carry out, but by the grace of God, with the Lord's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to carry it out. As you go from here today, stop rushing out of God's presence. Like we've always heard, prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. You are talking with your Father. Wait for your Father to talk to you. And don't waste God's presence. Don't waste it by disobedience. Saul wasted it by disobedience. And that is why Saul's kingdom did not last. That was why David's kingdom could last. Because David will go to the Lord and say, I want to go and meet this nation tomorrow. Should I pursue? Should I overtake? Should I do this? Should I do that? And God will say, David, on this occasion, pursue. The next time, David will go back again when another battle is about to start. Lord, what should I do? And God will tell him and give him another strategy. That was why David was able to win every single battle, because he obeyed, he learned quickly that secret of going to God and asking God about what he should do in every single situation. As you are raising up your children, as a wife, as a husband, as a mother, concerning your career, concerning your health, what matters most is that you hear from God and you carry out whatever God has told you to do. The Bible makes us to understand that the commandments of God, they are not grievous. The commandments of God are not grievous. It is up to you to obey it. When you obey whatever God has told you to do, you will see great results. You will see how God will come through for you. Hallelujah. Most of us stop at listening to God. We don't want to hear. Or when we hear, we don't want to obey. Because of people. What will people say? This instruction sounds so foolish. You don't think it's from God because it came from a small child. You don't think it's from God because it came from your spouse. You don't think it's from God because it came from your pastor that you are so familiar with. Because your church is not that big, so your pastor is not anointed. It can't be from God. It's not from God because it didn't come with fire and brimstone. The pastor or the person that delivered the message was not shaking when they delivered the message, so it cannot be from God. But you have to learn how to be silent before God to listen. We have to learn how to obey when he gives us his instructions, when he gives us his word. Because that is how God tests to see if your heart is within. It is God's word that you must hear. It is God's word that you must obey. God speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our mind. He speaks his word. If anybody tells you anything that is outside the word of God, discard it. But if whatever you have heard is in line with the word of God, then you obey it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe. Can you see that word? You may observe to do according to all. It didn't say some. It said according to all that is written in it. Hallelujah. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The person that wrote this book of Joshua himself, who came after Moses, there was a time they were told to go and spy out the land that God had given them. 12 of them went, including Joshua and Caleb. 10 came back, you know, with a negative report. It was only Joshua and Caleb that came back with a good report. They decided to stand with whatever God has told them. The book of the law is the Bible. You have to say the word of God. What God has said to you, say it out. Say it out as many times as possible. You are saying it. As you are saying it, it becomes part and parcel of you. As you say it more and more, you are believing it. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Okay? It didn't say it shall not depart out of your eyes. The Bible knows what it's saying. Out of your mouth means you are saying the word of God. Whatever God has said, you are saying it. When God told me you are a manager, I began to say that I'm a manager. I went to Umbagins, I got this organizer and I put on it my organizer, my EO, that's what we call it, where I work, my EO organizer. I began to see myself as going to that level. I began to say what God has said about me. I began to see it. I began to say, you have to see it. You have to say it. You have to obey it. You have to live it. That's the word of God. You see it. You say it. You obey it. You live it. You see the word. You say the word. You obey the word. You do the word. You say the word. You see it. You obey it. You see the word of God. You say it with your mouth. And you obey it. And then that is when you get results. That is how the word of God works. You cannot say the word of God. You cannot have the word of God and keep it inside of you and say, but God knows what I'm thinking. Yeah, he knows. But he wants you to say it, because as a man, as you see it, as you see yourself, so you will become. It is what you say that you will become. You can see something and say that. You know, have you read the Bible? Joshua chapter 6 about Jericho. And God will say to Joshua, see, I have given you this city. When God tells you us to see, listen to this. When God tells us to see, right? Most of the time, that challenge is still there. God is telling you to see beyond that challenge. You have to see yourself, like Pamela was saying at the 12 noon prayers. You have to see yourself beyond where you are. You have to see yourself at the place of victory. I had to see myself as a manager. When I started seeing myself as a manager, I didn't get the job yet. I continue to see it. I continue to say it. I believed it. I obeyed the instruction and I became it. These are principles. These are principles of God. So you need to go back tonight, child of God. You need to go back to the Lord and ask him for mercy in any way in which he has spoken in time past and you have failed to listen because you were afraid of people, because you were afraid of what your family was going to say. You were afraid of what your friends were going to say. If I stop keeping this, if I cut links with these people, what are people going to say about me? What are they going to say about me? David was like, I don't care. It is better for me to fall into the hands of God than to fall into the hands of man, because I know that with God, there is multitude of mercy. Hallelujah. It is better for me to obey God than to obey man. That's what Peter and the apostles said in the book of the Acts of Apostles. Why are we so afraid of people these days? Why are you allowing people, the fear of people, to stop you from getting to where God has wants you to get to? Why we align the fear of people to stop us from entering into our destiny? Why are we looking and comparing ourselves to other people? You don't know where those people have been with God. You don't know the sacrifices that has gone for you. Don't know. Face your own battle with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Obey the instructions that he has given to you. Don't just stop at listening. Don't just stop at writing things down. If you are not clear about things, go back to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure. Do you think the Holy Spirit is going to be angry with you when you go to him and you say, Lord, I'm not so sure about what's going on here. Can you explain it to me? Is it not written in the book of Isaiah somewhere where God will say, come, let us reason together. You and Ahura, let's talk. What's going on, girl? Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. Father to daughter, let's talk. Bring forth your strong reasons. That is God telling you. Bring forth your strong reasons to me. Tell me what is going on and let's talk about it. God is not going to judge you for opening up your heart. Do you think God is going to go, oh, I'm so shocked. Oh, so this girl has been looking for a job for a while. Wow, how come I didn't know about it? Do you think God does not know what you are going through? He's waiting for you to obey him. He is waiting for you to obey. Because he knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. He knows exactly how that situation is going to pan out. He knew before that situation happened. He was there when that situation was happening. And he knows the end result of that situation. But all he wants from us as his children is for us to obey him. And that is why we fall short. That is where we fall short. Because we think, because it's not spectacular, because there are not 25 scriptures attached to it, it cannot be from God. Because this pastor is not anointed, it cannot be from God. Because it's from the pastor's wife, it cannot be from God. Because it's from a child like Samuel, it cannot be from God. Because God is just asking me to text somebody. How is texting somebody going to solve my problem? You know, things have happened to me in the past where I'll just be on my own, minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit will just give me a dream. And the exact thing that I'm believing God for in my dream, God will be giving it to somebody else. And I'm like, God, what's going on? And God will be like, pray for this person. And I'll be like, why should I when I want the same thing as well? And God will say, no, Wura, I want you to put your own needs aside. I want you to pray for this person. That is obedience. And I'll be like, Lord, this person, during the week, and I'll pray for the person. I was just going through my phone and I came across a name. And my mind just started going back to this person, how this person has been a blessing to our family and everything. And the Holy Spirit was like, contact her. And I thought, Lord, I am so tired. I'm so tired tonight. I've been on training all day. I just want to sleep. But the Spirit of God would not allow me to rest. So I finally contacted her. And before I knew it, I was like putting instructions together on how we can meet for a chat. And, you know, and she was just like, you don't know, I need this so much. You don't know how much I needed for you to contact me because I've been going through a lot. And I thought, so what if I didn't obey? What if I didn't obey God because I was tired? What if I didn't obey God because I had had a long day? I had had a long day. This person is not even in the United Kingdom. She's in another country. But I had to obey because that was what my father was telling me to do. It didn't matter, irrespective of the way I was feeling. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us tonight. The Holy Spirit will help us tonight. The Holy Spirit will help us tonight. Let's bring up John chapter 14, verses 21 to 24. John chapter 14, verses 21 to 24. I remember years ago in Nigeria, where we are originally from, we're about to come to the UK, and the first church plant we'll have in Nigeria. Because I was born in the UK, so I was about to come then years ago. And the church we planted, my husband and myself, didn't have chairs. So we had put the money for our tickets to travel to the UK aside. And then one day, we just got to church and we're like, there's no chair in this church and whatever. And the Holy Spirit said, you see that money for your tickets? We are like, yes, Lord. He said, don't worry about tickets for now. Go and use that money to buy chairs into the church. What? We are like, what? It was a struggle, but we obeyed. And up till today, I don't think until we left, nobody knew. People just got to church on a Sunday and saw white chairs. Everybody was like, this is a miracle. Where did this come from? Did we still come to the UK? Yes, we did. And God has been faithful ever since. God has been faithful ever since. We decided to obey. Ever since then, we have had tremendous blessings that we could not afford to give ourselves. And it's as a result, if you see people putting on clothes, wearing shoes, going places, God is blessing them. Don't be envious of them. Ah, no, 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 no. There has been a lot of sacrifice. Sacrifices you cannot even begin to imagine. Obedience that you cannot even talk about. There are things that I cannot even talk about, because if I say them, it will look as if God is partial. But these things have happened to myself, to my husband, to my family, and I'm sure for many people watching tonight, because of obedience. Because of obedience. I pray that the Lord will give you the grace to obey whatever is telling you. It might be from your husband, it might be from your wife. Don't discard it, please. John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Can you see that? And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our homes with him. So if you and I obey God, God will come to us and make our home, his home, the home of the Father, the home of the Son, the home of the Holy Spirit will become your home. Verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will help you. The grace to obey whatever the Lord has said to you will be released upon you. As you have stopped, you have listened to God's word, and not only listened, in the place of listening, stop, let him give you instructions, and as he gives you these instructions, obey these instructions, and as you obey, God will come through for you. Don't look at man, don't look at the person beside you, don't look at your friend. Everyone has their own battles to face. This walk with Christ is a very, very personal walk. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is there. The strength of the Holy Spirit is there to see us through. I pray that God will keep you from falling. It will help you to be all that he has created you to be. As you take out time this weekend, as we go tomorrow, there'll be an announcement tomorrow about the prayer meeting, the international prayer meeting that we join once a month. I'll be ministering at 7 p.m. on that prayer altar as well tomorrow, Friday, and then we'll go for the Festival of Life in London through a link. Please join me at 7 p.m. Please join the Festival of Life. All these things, all those programs, you know, don't say you are too tired, you're in your house anyway. Listen, because you never know. You never, ever know. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, if he had not gone into the temple that day, if he had not gone into the temple that day, like he had been doing for so many years, he would have missed the visitation of the angel. He would have missed that visitation. So don't get tired of serving. Don't get tired of praising. Don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of loving God. Don't get tired of loving God's people. Whenever you want to get tired, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because in quietness, Isaiah 30:12, in quietness, in confidence shall be your strength. May the Lord help you to obey whatever he has said to you in the name of Jesus. God bless you. See you again next time, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Bye for now.